When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
A chance to catch up with an old friend. It's been too long coming, and that's on me. Through the COVID years, he guided us through, well, every day of the footy frenzy, casting his themes and sharing his insightful strategies. He's part of the Giants coaching setup now, Craig Jennings. Jenno, welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Jared. Great memories. And everywhere I go around Australia, there's always somebody that I bump into that remembers our segment and asked me to come up with themes and so forth. So a great time in life for me, those couple of years.
Looks like orange suits you.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed it up here, Jared. So as you know, because we were doing the show together and some stuff with Crunch Time and so forth, I was pretty keen to, when I had the opportunity to come back into AFL Clubland, I was pretty keen to get up to an expansion club in the northern markets to do something different. And here we are today. It's been a great experience.
So the most timely aspect of this is in the cost of living debate that's being had at the moment, you're being depicted as footy's pauper or footy's vagabond, is living in a van. So I thought we probably should set some of that straight. Is anybody who listened to you know that you walk to the beat of your own drum and you're living life that way? So tell me about living in a van.
Yeah, well, I guess the first part of that is all the stories around cost of living in Sydney are absolutely true, but they certainly don't apply to me. So I came up here by choice, and as you said, I live my life my own way, and I just saw it as an opportunity to live the van life. It's not for everybody, but there'll be plenty of listeners out there that absolutely love the van life. And it was just one of those unique opportunities in life that I get to work, but at the end of each day, I hop in the van and I head up to the northern beaches and I sleep on the beach every night, Jared, and it's just total freedom. And I guess the important part of that is I wanted to experience, I love a road trip, but my boys are teenagers now and I wanted to be able to do road trips with them. So that was a really big part of it. But the van life's for me, and I'm not giving it up anytime soon.
So what do you like about it, Craig? It carries a negative connotation, but it's anything but that for you.
Yeah, it's I guess there's a segment of the community that enjoy smaller space living, and they like living in terms of the freedom. So every day, well, I work at the club 6 to 6. So if I go through how it works practically for me, at 6 o'clock each night, I have dinner at the footy club because we have a full-time chef. So he organises a meal for me, and then I point the van in a direction and away I go. And I guess the beautiful part for me is when you hit the beach, and especially on the drive as well, all the pressures and stresses of working in professional sports and an AFL club, they just drift away. So it's been a really great mental thing for me. It's great for work-life balance, and I meet great people. So van life people are really interesting. It's everything from a grey nomad to young families to 18-year-olds and everything in between. So you hit the beach and you could be anywhere in the world at that point. So many tourists, and although I change beaches quite a bit, we all see each other along the path.
So do you have your favourites? Is it carefully plotted out where you're going to be, or wherever the wind takes you is wherever you end up?
Well, it's funny because I lived in Wonturna for a long time in Melbourne and worked at the Bulldogs Essendon. Melbourne were based just at the MCG, Amy Park there. So I've always driven an hour to work. So I tend to just drive an hour up the coast any particular way. But I had a feeling you might ask that question, and I kind of don't want to give away where I end up because yes. I've got a couple of really secluded spots, and I don't want them to get overpopulated. And it's just me and a few other van lifers up there. But suffice to say that the northern beaches, as you head up towards the central coast, are pretty incredible. And some of the beaches I I stay out of being stated as the equivalent of Byron Bay from, 20 and 30 years ago. And the people there are very relaxed and amazing. And one of the great things for me is in Melbourne, football's all consuming. But I head up to the beaches and nobody knows anything about football. They don't talk about football. So it's just a great outlet. And it's just very meditative and peaceful. And it just, I think it's part of the reason why I feel like such a great fit for the Giants, because they allow me, one, to work at the best footy club I've ever worked at, and certainly with the best people. But I get that freedom and lifestyle as part of it.
What sort of van have you got?
Well, Jordan Lewis, who you've worked with plenty, Jared, for a long time, a few years ago, I asked him to pick one out for me, and it's a Ford Transit. Now, you know me. I don't know much about cars, and my original car was a ute that's be about 25 years old now. And he said a Ford Transit was for me. So it's not the most spacious vehicle, but what it is great on the road. So I'm driving back and forward regularly with my boys between Melbourne and Sydney. The road trips post-training every night, it's been the most amazing vehicle. And it's pretty recognisable now. People know when I'm driving to the beaches and can pick it out, because there's not many of them around. But Jordan Lewis is in the car business, and I trusted his advice, and he was spot on.
How challenging is it, Craig, being separated from family, and so that you see the boys regularly but not living with them permanently? How do you find that?
Well, they know what sort of dad they've got. I'm very nomadic, and I'm very conscious. So I guess one of the stories I can tell, at the end of last season, I had an opportunity to come back to Melbourne, and my preference was to stay in Sydney or to stay at this footy club and hopefully have a long career here. But obviously I check in with my boys, and they were adamant. They wanted me to stay in Sydney because for them, it's quality over quantity. That they're at the age where they can fly to Sydney on their own now, and I pick them up from the airport. Often we'll do the road trips back and forth, or we'll drive one way and they'll fly back the other way. And the other part of it is Kingers is just such a, and Jason McCartney, the football manager, they're just great with the understanding that family is important. So when the boys are up here, they've grown up in footy clubs. So I was just thinking the other day that when they come up, I tell them to stay out of the way. But sometimes I'm out on the training track and they're in the middle of a drill and I go to kick them off the track. But Kingers has actually put them in drills and got them feeding footballs and so forth. So I guess the quality is so great. And I try to make it so they're either up here or the club will send me down to Melbourne for an extra night when we play in Melbourne, or an extra few nights, and I get plenty of time with them there. So there's no hard luck story here in that regard. It's not for everybody, but it works really well for me and my boys.
So the soft cap has been the source of much discussion for a good few years, and we spoke about it a few times as well. The wage of the assistant coach, now I'm not asking you how much you're getting paid, the wage of the assistant coach, where it sits from the pre-COVID years to where it is now, could you give us a depiction of that?
Yeah, so there's a few things in terms of the coaching contracts that I think are important for people to understand, and particularly at the AFL. And the first thing here is that GWS, and I think all clubs that are funded through the AFL, we have a four-week contract. So I recently, in the middle of last year, signed an extended deal, but it comes with a four-week contract clause that I can be terminated with 4 weeks payout, and that's it. So if we are seriously, or if the AFL is serious about attracting the best coaches to Sydney, you're never going to get a coach or the best of the coaches in Melbourne to relocate, because they're coming into a four-week contract situation. And if you think about our daily life, we have robust conversations every day. I would have had a hundred what other people would call disagreements, strong disagreements and arguments with Kingers, which I think the scoreboard's 99-1 his way. but you walk out of those meetings, and obviously our coaches are very tight-knit, because we've all, or the most of us, have moved away from family. And Wayne Cripps, the VFL coach, never ceases to remind me that that 4 week payout's about to be applied. But That's a really challenging thing. I think more specific to your question is for me personally, pre-COVID, my coaching wage has probably been reduced in round figures about 40%, 30 to 40% less for the same, if not more work. My contract would be the same as it was 10 years ago. Now, that's okay for me because I live a pretty modest lifestyle. And there's so many other great things that I get out of football. But if you're talking about attracting the best players into coaching, and John Longmire speaks about this far better than I can, there's a real issue up here in terms of the attractiveness of coaching for the hours you put in and the stresses that you're under. The lifespan of a coach is short term. And when you think about football being a multi-billion dollar business, and everybody wages has gone back in the industry to pre-COVID levels, well, the assistant coaches' wages haven't. And my feeling is the AFL within 24 hours can press a button and say, let's abandon these four-week contracts. So even though I know that Jason McCartney and King is a man of integrity, they're not going to apply that. So it's a very safe thing for the AFL to immediately come out and say, for our values and our morals and our ethics, we can't have coaches in the northern markets or at any team in the AFL that are sitting with a four-week contract hanging over their head.
It's difficult to think of another profession that the wage levels would be the same as 10 years ago and would be 40% less than the cusp of COVID. That from the outside, that feels like a lag. Is it a source of resentment inside the profession?
So I can only speak anecdotally to that, and the answer is definitely yes. And the AFL-CA do studies, and coach satisfaction is drifting down or trending downwards all the time. The challenge for me to talk about it is I'm at that point in life where I have a lot of gratitude, and I look at all the benefits I get from being, particularly at this club. So we've spoke about my van life and my lifestyle and the freedom that gives me. I love the idea of working at an expansion club. But also there's great connections in Sydney. So I spent a lot of time with the NRL and the Canterbury Bulldogs. So I start thinking about when Kingers is looking to make change in his footy department, the Canterbury Bulldogs, I get along well with their coach, Cameron Seraldo, and is there an opportunity to cross codes, which would be really interesting. But to answer your question, I think you could interview, or the AFL-CA does interview coaches and does surveys at the end of each year and coaching satisfaction and the feeling of how we're regarded by the AFL is definitely tracked down over a number of years.
So the other element, Craig, is the cost of living in Sydney. So you know this firsthand. It's not emotional. It's not a whine. Is the cost of living in Sydney profoundly more expensive than the cost of living in Melbourne?
Yeah, it's interesting because when I was in Melbourne, all you're thinking about is the Melbourne teams. And you don't often think about what the interstate. So you'll read articles, but you're not really thinking about what it's like there day to day. And what coaches tell me in terms of the numbers they're paying is their rent is doubled from Melbourne to Sydney. So if we talk, if we give a real life example, so Collingwood win the premiership. Their midfield coach is Hayden Skipworth. So he's probably in Melbourne the most in-demand coach in the game for that season following. Now, for him to be attracted to whether it was GWS or Sydney at our club, you're asking him to be on a compulsory four-week payout clause and asking him to relocate his family, and the rent is double. And the second piece of this is the rising rents means every coach in our football club, my understanding is they've moved two or three times and they've only been here two seasons. So even if you get a relocation allowance, the problem is at the end of each year, you're having to move again because of the sharp increase in the rents. And what other coaches have told me is that basically at the end of each season, they're breaking even. So there's actually, if you compare that to any other city in Australia, certainly if you're coaching, you're able to put some money away, because as I stated earlier that I've been really fortunate because I'm heading up towards three decades in the game, but the average lifespan of whether it's a senior or assistant coach, not too long ago was about 4 years. I think it's extended to around seven. And the challenge is once you've been an assistant coach, it's very hard to get a job in the real world. So the longer you're in the game, it's not like you can just walk out and get a job in any other industry, because other people have spent those 4 or 7 years working their way up and being accredited in specific fields. So it is a real challenge that I think the AFL should have a serious look at, and there's things that they can do immediately to imagine the goodwill that would happen this week if they said these 4-week contracts. That just doesn't feel right to me.
Yeah.
That coaches live in that circumstances.
Craig Jennings is with me from Giants headquarters. I actually wish we were in the van, but never mind. The opportunities that you've had. So you spoke there about the Canterbury Bulldogs. Is we traded messages in the off-season when you were overseas. Is your creative mind has been tapped in different areas. Just tell us, where were you invited and where did you travel to?
Yeah, so that was a real shock, and where it connects to was actually being in Sydney, which I guess opens up different connections and networks. But in the middle of the year, Nick Poulos, our head of high performance, got a text message from a coach at Paris Saint-Germain that had actually heard our radio show from 5 years ago and was interested in all the creative stuff we talked about and the insights and the strategy. And Paris Saint-Germain invited me to spend some time in Paris with their coaches. And so I was really fortunate that I got to spend a month in Paris. And then as part of that, there was a connection between Paris Saint-Germain and Parma Soccer Club in Italy, which is a second division soccer club, but historically really is a first division team. They went bankrupt. And so they're spending some time in second division, working their way back. And through the Paris Saint-Germain connections, I got to spend some time in Parma in Italy, which, you know, Jared, really suits my personality. It's a little medieval town. And I must admit, I've been really fortunate with the opportunities of study tours, but that was the one where I try to put a case forward for staying there permanently or getting another invite, because it was a pretty special place and pretty special time. So
what was the exchange incredible. Of ideas like between coaches?
Yeah, so it's interesting because you go there, you observe, you see everything at the front line. You're trying to come back with one or two ideas that you can implement in the preseason. But I guess this time on this trip, and maybe being a little bit more experienced and older, I wanted an ongoing connection. So I spoke to their analysts over there at both Paris Saint-Germain and Parma, and we've built an ongoing relationship. So it was only a month or two ago, the analysts at the Giants were on a Zoom call with the analysts at Paris Saint-Germain sharing ideas that is something that'll be ongoing. So it's one of those, I guess, really rare things where you connect to. Now, you know, I'm not a soccer expert, Jared, even though I spent a lot of time at soccer clubs. But when I told, you know, when people heard that I was heading to Paris Saint-Germain, I mean, they're a club that is one of the biggest clubs in the world, and people couldn't kind of believe my luck. So, the Giants have got a bit of an open door there to Paris Saint-Germain, which is pretty amazing, and the same with Parma. Great people.
And what was the experience like of a home game for Paris Saint-Germain?
So that was, kind of scary. Like, that was, the supporters are quite incredible and passionate. I really haven't seen anything like it. And to put into words, I really can't describe it, but I love the ice hockey, the NHL in America. That's been my favorite sport to watch live. But this was probably my most standout sporting moment. I think I ended up doing at Paris Saint-Germain 3 games, and I'd get to the game an hour and a half, 2 hours early and just soak up the atmosphere. They're just amazing and such passionate supporters.
Did you bring home a suitcase full of secondhand books from Parma?
Well, Jared, yeah, I did.
So I bet you did.
Just by chance. Now, this was just luck. There was a rare book fair in Milan in Italy. So it just so happened that my trip from Paris to Parma coincided with the rare book fair, and I've kept in touch with a couple of the rare book dealers there. But I pack lightly, but I came home with a, yeah, it's right, I came home with a suitcase full of rare books. The best was a manuscript from about the 1200s, which I got at a very good price and will end up in auction shortly.
Very nice. All right, your mind works differently to most others. That's what makes it so beautiful. Tell me, have you got the animal sanctuary set up? Because we got a little glimpse, didn't we, with a viral video of stray cats and the like, but there's something that underpins all of this.
Yeah, so I'm pretty passionate about whether it's people or animals, my whole life supporting those that can't help themselves. And it just, Riley Beveridge and the media team here, headed by Alison Zell and Laura Elliott, they encouraged me to do an article. There was some stray cats at the football club, or more so abandoned cats. And one of them I saw, and it had a container stuck around its neck and it was suffering, and I couldn't sleep at night. So I got in touch with a couple of local animal rescuers that are amazing women, Katie Shield and Karen French. So they've given me a lot of support. And a passion or a project of mine for post-football is always to be open and run an animal sanctuary, and was something that I was looking to do down the track, but with support of Katie Shield and Karen, and certainly support of the players that have really helped fund it, actually. Toby Green, Sam Taylor, Tom Green, Stephen Canelio, Adi Swegler, who's been in footy for about 30 years in property and logistics, they've helped me fund it. So on May 21st, I'm really excited to say that my animal shelter is going to open, and the football club here has 8 cats that are in need of a home. So over the course of the football season, and with the support of Katie Shield, I'll be driving those, or getting those cats back to my animal sanctuary and then out for adoption. But I've really got to thank the media team, Riley Beveridge. If anybody's not across the story, and now I'm not on social media, but I think it had 16,000.
Yeah, I think everyone's across it.
Yeah, so it went viral, and the amount of support I've had for it within the footy club and externally is incredible. But I can't sleep at night knowing that there's an animal or person suffering and I can do something about it. In this case, I could. But May 21, the building should be complete, and the Giants Club Cats will be finding a safe home, and then we'll get them adopted. We'll get them socialised and we'll get them adopted. So I want to thank everybody for their support and funding.
Oh, I just have this. You don't have a van full of cats, do you, Geno?
Well, that was kind of the in joke, because when people around the club started picking up that I was trying to find and feed these cats, I think people assumed that they were living in the van with me. And as you said, I do things a little bit differently, but no, that's not the case. I want them healthy, and they weren't in good shape, but they're in great shape now. They're getting the best food that I can afford. And hopefully they got many good years ahead, Jared.
Lovely. Lovely. All right, let's just finish. I know you're due at a meeting. Just share an insight into footy in 2024 with us. Not something specific to the Giants that gives anything away on your front, but something that you'd be prepared to share with us now that we've had 7 rounds of footy. There's a lot of different strategies and trends at play. What appeals to you most?
Well, I guess I'm always looking at offense, Jared. So because I'm the offense coach up here, but I should say when I state that I'm certainly running Adam Kingsley's system. So I take no credit for the success we've been having in that regard. And the players are delivering that at a really high level every week. Offense is a collaboration with all our coaches. So Jeremy Laidlaw, he's only 34, been coaching 7-8 years now. And he's somebody to keep an eye on, a real up and coming coach. Wayne Cripps, the VFL coach, I think he's got their VFL team as number one offense as well, which is a great sign. And he, we've seen the young boys come into the team on the weekend, like Darcy Jones, that he's curated through the VFL system and done a great job. Montgomery, who I work with at the Dogs, is in charge of defense. So we've always got to balance out his needs in defense with what we're needing in offense. And Benny Hart, who's been in footy a long time, I've known him since we were 16. He's coached the midfield, so scoring from stoppages is important. So what I'm really pleased about when I watch games, there must be 4 or 5 teams averaging. We're at round 7 and they're averaging around 100 points a week, if not very close to. And I know us and Sydney are probably one and two. Now, you don't, that's not something that you're not really aiming to be number one in offense. You can win premierships when you rank four, five, or six. You really want defense and offense to be very aligned, which we were last year. So even though we had a slow start, I think offense finished the season at seven for us, eight in defense. But when we're really up and going, we'll rank number one and two for a long period of time at the back half of the season. So I've just been really pleased with the style of footy, and that really comes down to, I guess, a lot of the things that came out of Richmond with Damien Hardwick. Adam Kingsley's brought it in here. So I feel like my job is really just measuring and adjusting. And, that term we use, I try to see things early, Jared, so that we can start adjusting our training accordingly so it can come out in the games. But I mean, some of the footy that I'm watching in terms of offense is absolutely scintillating from a number of clubs.
Geno, it's great to catch up. It's great to pick your brain and to hear your story as to how you're living your life and how footy integrates in all of that in Sydney. So splendid to catch up. There's a lot of what you taught us that still reverberates through our everyday conversation in the show. So thank you. Lovely to see you, and all power to you.
Thanks, Jared. Thank you for the invitation.